In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot going on today, calendar-wise. As we said, today is Mother's Day. Mother's Day is not a religious holiday per se, although it is often treated like one. My vicarage supervisor called Mother's Day a Hallmark holiday because he believed its chief function was to sell greeting cards and gifts. He would schedule confirmation on Mother's Day every year just to avoid celebrating Mother's Day in the church. However, the church suddenly does endorse motherhood, and we pray for all mothers. There are many great examples of mothers in the Bible and in Christian history, including foremost Mary, the mother of our Lord, Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, and Katie Luther, mother to her and Martin's children. Today is also Shepherd's Sunday. The fourth Sunday of Easter is the day we emphasize the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd taking care of us, his flock. Today we read the 23rd Psalm, and we heard the gospel and epistle readings, which have shepherding themes, and the first two hymns that we heard were also about the Good Shepherd and shepherding. And today, of course, is Confirmation Sunday in our congregation. Three boys entered the confirmation program 2 years ago. Today, three young men, Owen, David, and Paul, will be affirming their faith in Christ, and prayers will be offered on their behalf. Can these three things, motherhood, shepherding, and confirmation, be brought together homiletically in a unified whole, to explicate the gospel of Jesus Christ and to provide the appropriate context for the rite of confirmation? I believe they can, and I'll give it a try. The Bible refers to the church as the bride of Christ. Christ relates to us, his church, both Christian men and women, as a husband traditionally relates to his wife. That may sound strange to us today, given all of the confusion that there is about gender and gender roles. Genesis tells us that God created us male and female. Men and women are equal before God. We are one, but we are not the same. We are complementary. We carry each other. We complete each other. As the French say, vive la différence. Accordingly, throughout Christian history, it has been said that the one who wants God for his father must have the church for his mother. As a human mother loves her child and nurtures him or her physically and emotionally, so does Mother Church nurture us spiritually. The church loves us. Christ the Son, at one with God the Father, sacrificed his life for us so that we might have abundant and eternal life. That is like what husbands and fathers do for their brides, mothers, and their children. They protect and they provide. Mother Church teaches us God's word, what we need to know about salvation, and brings to us the means of grace, baptism and Holy Communion, to nurture us in God's love and to comfort us. Jesus does not want us to be homeless orphans. He wants us to be part of the family of Father God and Mother Church, where we are protected from evil, nurtured in grace, and loved. We see a similar theme in the image of Jesus as Good Shepherd. A shepherd cares for his sheep, his flock. As the 23rd Psalm makes so clear, the shepherd feeds and waters them. He protects them from predators and seeks them out when they get lost. Unlike the hirelings and bad shepherds, the good shepherd loves his sheep to the point of laying down his life for them. Jesus wants us all to be part of his flock. It is a safe and happy place to be in the church, in the flock. How then does all of this relate to confirmation? That begs the question, what is confirmation? We Lutherans do not say that confirmation is a sacrament, as Owen, David, and Paul could all tell you because they heard me say it so often. A sacrament is something in Scripture that Christ commands us to do, where an outward physical sign conveys to us an inward spiritual grace. We Lutherans say baptism and Holy Communion are sacraments. So while confirmation is not a sacrament per se, it does have what we quite call a sacramental character, in the same way that things like marriage and ordination do. The New Testament antecedents of confirmation are Christ breathing the Holy Spirit onto the disciples on that first Easter Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit in power on the first Christian Pentecost, and the apostles laying their hands on people and praying for them to be given the Holy Spirit. Confirmation has been practiced in the church since the earliest time. Baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion have always followed one another. Decades ago, a study defined confirmation as an educational and pastoral ministry of the church whereby a young person comes to identify more fully and participate more deeply in the Christian faith. Christian education, of course, is a big part of the program. The young men being confirmed today have been instructed in the teaching of Holy Scripture and in Lutheran Small Catechism. Mother Church has nurtured them with good biblical teaching. The Good Shepherd has taught them his word, which is like a rod and staff, protecting them from heresy and keeping them in the one true faith. Not only that, they have built relationships with this congregation, with their pastor, and with other Christian adults, and with one another in our classes and in our congregational events. In many ways, Christians are formed by being around other faithful Christians. We learn as if by osmosis, and there's even more than that. Today, on behalf of Christ the Good Shepherd and Mother Church, I will lay hands on David, Owen, and Paul and anoint them with oil. This is how we pray that the Holy Spirit will be conveyed to them once again, that the Spirit will move upon them and be stirred up within them, so that they may take on the adult functions and responsibilities of church membership. They are ready for this new big step, which is much more than just a rite of passage. It is a blessing from God that they receive. Now, one of my jobs as a pastor and your job as a congregation is to identify and encourage young people as candidates for ministry. I can say with all enthusiasm that these young men, as well as the other young people that I've confirmed here over the years, are most suitable to be a pastor or to serve in other church professions. May God lead them where he wants them to be. May God lead you where he wants you to be. And may the Good Shepherd preserve Mother Church.